And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. I'm back in the house today. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you? Did you miss me?
I did. Although Junie did a nice job.
But, he did. I heard you trying to sabotage me yesterday on the Preds Pick to Click part of this, too.
I know. God.
He wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm very disappointed in him for that. Yeah. It doesn't matter. You won anyway. It's over. Isn't it officially over, like mathematically over, basically?
If they don't make the playoffs, I think it's over.
Well, that's true. That's true. I guess if they get to the Stanley Cup final, Michelle could win the freaking thing. Huh?
Yeah, I'm definitely not winning.
That's true. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Guys, I'm doing great. I actually went and saw the Nike movie again last night.
Wow.
So two nights in a row. Highly recommend you to see it this weekend.
Wow. We're going tonight.
Oh, it's so good.
But that's
it's got your boy in it.
That's yeah, I know. It's you know, there's pluses and minuses, I'm sure. But
shout out to Ben Affleck.
Yeah. No, I was Ryan and I were sitting there last night and I was like, I really wish I could just rent this Nike movie on like Amazon or Video Prime on demand, whatever. We're just sitting there and
it's only theatrical?
We're like, we're going. Usually they do it in the theaters and then maybe a couple weeks. I don't think you can get it anywhere on your couch. We would have done that, but nope. We made the trip to the theater, ate a lot of popcorn.
Popcorn with peanut M&Ms on top
course,
of it?
Of course,
that's
yep.
That's outstanding.
Two nights in a row.
I love it.
Hey, got to do what you got to do. I know. You know the bunch of crunch at the movie theater? Sometimes I'll dump that thing in there at the popcorn. It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
It's a weird combination, but it works.
Oh, it works.
I've never tried that, but I like that.
We got a lot to get into on the program here today. Jared Stillman joining the show at 7 o'clock.
Agent 31. We call him Agent 31.
Oh, Agent 31. Yeah. Okay.
31 flavors.
Agent 31 joining the show at 7 o'clock today. Looking forward to that. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, dropping by at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. So a lot to get to on that front. We begin with the Nashville Predators, and what a win last night. They shut out Carolina 3-0 last night in a really weird game. Carolina scored twice in the game, and neither one of them counted last night for the Hurricanes. Their first goal got taken away for incidental contact in the crease for goaltender interference. And then their second goal, Brent Burns with the old Olay move last night, acted like he was dumping the puck around the boards and caught UC Saros leaning and put one in the back of the net, but it was a delayed offside, so that didn't count either. So Carolina scored twice last night, neither one of them counted, and the Preds win 3-0. And that's a huge, huge win for them last night. And all of a sudden, here we find ourselves with four games left for the Nashville Predators. They are 1 point back of a playoff spot, and they are taking on the Winnipeg Jets, who currently occupy that spot, coming up tomorrow. And then next Monday, they'll be in Calgary. So Calgary and Winnipeg right in front of the Predators, both 1 point ahead, and the Predators will have head-to-head opportunities against both coming up in their next two games. Pretty incredible that they've put themselves in this situation.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, pretty fun too. And I gotta say, UC Saros, I mean, does he like if he just dominates down the stretch and they get in? I mean, where does that put him? Where does that put UC Saros? I mean, if we're, you know, let's say another shutout or two here. I mean, I'm talking like ridiculous stuff, but.
I mean, the way he's playing right now,
he's got to be discussed, right?
You would think so. I mean, look, the way he's playing right now is remarkable. I mean, it's if you just go by, and we've talked about the Vezina Trophy conversation around him before. If you just go by the traditional stats, I mean, he's a .271 goals against. He's .918 save percentage. He's got 31 wins. You know, Willie and Mace have done a good job in of the last week or so kind of breaking down some advanced stats of – you know, goals saved above expected and all these other numbers you want to throw out there where he leads the league. I mean, if they find a way to get in, I have to think that he's got to garner some attention for that. Now, look, I mean, you've had some goalies this year that have played really, really well. And, you know, a lot of times we see this where general managers just kind of make up their mind, and it is what it is as they move forward.
Best goalie on best team.
Best goalie on best team, all that stuff. But, I mean, if you really think about it, and I don't know how much time general managers spend actually thinking about it when they cast these votes, but, like, think about what he's working with right now and that defense core that he's got out there with no Yossi and – You know, Carrier's been out. You traded away Ekholm. Like, if they get in the playoffs and his numbers are what they are, which in some cases are leading the league in some category, I don't know how you couldn't at least think about it. Like, if they get in the playoffs and he's not, like, a top three guy, that would be upsetting to me.
Yeah, I would have to think. I would have to think if that's the case, he has to be a finalist, right? But, I mean, yeah, maybe. Again, I thought he had a case to win the thing 2 years ago and wasn't a finalist, so who knows? And last year he was a finalist, which
yeah,
was well, you know, well deserved, but also like like the year before absurdly should have been a finalist and maybe the winner. So, I don't know.
It's interesting, like, you know, Linus Ullmark is, you know, Boston's goalie.
Yep.
And he's only played 47 games. Now, in those 47 games, he's 38-6-1 with a 1.9 goals against and a .937 save percentage. Pretty darn good.
Right. I mean, he's been the presumed winner for a long time now.
Right. Now, that's
probably will be the winner.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking a team that is getting ready to set a wins record in the history of the league. So my guess is they're going to win a lot of things as it relates to postseason or season awards here, but it's incredible that we're even having this conversation. And that goes to show you the way that UC Saros has played lately. I mean, look, last night, you know, those two goals, yes, the Predators got lucky, right? I mean, anytime you leave something up, the goalie interference, especially today's game, all of them are a crapshoot. So you never know how those calls are going to go. And then the second one, I mean, he got caught leaning. That's happened to Pekka Rinne a few times. Like, it happens sometimes. But you're lucky that it's offside. So, I mean, fortune was on your side last night, and you ended up scoring the third goal with an empty netter. So if those two goals count, who knows how that game ends up. But they didn't count. And, not only last night, but really the way that he's played the last 3 weeks to a month, he's been good the whole year. He has been nothing short of awesome the last month, and he's the only reason they're here.
Yeah, and that's so. If they get close and I expect it's kind of like the just like you said with Boston, when a team achieves like that, like so many of the individual awards end up drifting that way. And I get it. I think if the Preds don't get in, I could see. I could see that being the dividing line in terms of him being a finalist. You
sure.
know, I think some people are going to be just compelled to at least. And these GMs, of course, vote for this, include him if they get in. And he deserves recognition for this. I mean, you talk about, like, in front of him, look at all the changes. I mean, it's just, you know, a lot of guys are playing well, and it's there's a lot of great individual stories. But his performance with almost a totally different team. I mean, look at what some nights they've had in front of him in recent weeks compared to most of the rest of the year.
I know.
It's pretty different.
Yeah. Garland on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says UC Saros for the Hart Trophy. Derek says, I'm not the first to say it on the show, but this is the most fun I've had watching this team in a few years. He said test, but I think he meant years. I'm going autocorrect there. And then Chris on the text line says, so you're saying there's a chance, nice Dub and Dubber reference, the Preds might actually pull this off. How big are the next two games? Exciting times, my friends. Hopefully Joe's pants aren't on fire today like they were on Monday. LOL. I don't know what that means. Were you spicy on Monday?
Is that right?
Monday's a long time ago.
No, I can't even remember. I'm trying to think. What was I mad about Monday?
I think it was Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, Twitter.
It's still going really well. I'm complaining about Twitter, going to get off Twitter, and then yesterday I'm all day griping back and forth with people on Twitter. So, yes, looking forward to some hockey to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, like, going back to the deadline, we've talked about this, but we know the moves that were made at the deadline, and then you factor in the injuries. The fact that they've gotten to this point and they're 1 point out of a playoff spot is incredible with the way that this has gone. And I do wonder, you know, part of what we're watching here beyond the immediate of can they finish this off and make the playoffs, and we'll continue that discussion coming up here in a minute. But like Barry Trotz, as he's watching all this unfold, and he's behind the scenes now, and he's in the meeting rooms, and he's doing all these things. I mean, I can't help but think that the run that they've been on is good news for John Hines. Now, I don't know that necessarily means that he's keeping his job, but certainly, I think he's made a case to keep his job with the way the young guys have gone down the stretch. Now, I know some Predators fans are hearing that right now going, oh, no. They're really going to keep him.
But April in Portland's about to text.
But I'm just saying, like, if Barry Trotz was being truthful, and I have no reason to doubt that he was at the press conference a few weeks ago and says that it's an evaluation of John Hines coming down the stretch, well, I mean, I would think that he would have to be pretty impressed by the job that's been done to this point.
No, I would too. I didn't – correct me if I'm wrong, but I never heard Barry Trotz spell it out like, you know, like – he, you know, like there's no chance that he could move on or do.
No.
You know, so and that's always been my thing. It's just, I mean, if Barry Trotz already had someone, had a preconceived notion about who should be the next coach, then I don't know that this changes that. But yeah, if it's as simple as I want to see what he is as a coach, and then I'm going to, you know, sit down and figure out, you know, which way we want to go. I mean, how could Hines not have helped himself here?
Yeah, the young guys have come in and played well, and how about the two goals last night? Jankowski, shorthanded, and Michael McCarron, basically from the corner, throwing one in there last night. And
big
then,
sexy.
Dante Fabro with a nice empty netter last night, too. And shout-out to Kevin Weeks and P.K. Subban on the call on the game last night on ESPN+, too.
How about that?
It was interesting.
Fabro doubled his goals.
Fabro did. He doubled his goals.
No one got a pick to click.
They did not. No pick-to-click scored last night. We're off and running today. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. The Predators, 1 point out of a playoff spot as we are about to enter into the final week of the regular season. What do you make of the job this Predators team has done, and what do you make of their chances now that they go on the road to take on Winnipeg and Calgary in the next two games? We'll continue that discussion coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. Preds win 3-0 last night against the Carolina Hurricanes, a shutout for UC Saros, which, by the way, I would imagine that Rod Brendamore and the Carolina Hurricanes are probably tired of playing against UC Saros this year. Shut them out last night, and then you know, we remember the game in Carolina earlier this year. We made about 1,000 saves in one game. So I would imagine the Hurricanes are glad to be done playing him.
I would think so.
Would be my guess.
They've seen a lot of good UC Saros performances the last couple years.
They sure have. There's no question about that. The Preds, 1 point behind the Winnipeg Jets and the Calgary Flames heading into this weekend. Winnipeg and the Preds both at 78 games played. Calgary at 79, so the Flames have played one more game than both of them. But a head-to-head tomorrow for the Predators against the Jets. And if you can win that game, you know, you found yourself in a playoff spot. Now, Calgary does play tomorrow, too. So Calgary, I believe, is against Vancouver tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. Yep, on the road in Vancouver. So, I mean, there is still a chance you could beat Winnipeg tomorrow if you're the Predators. And by the end of the night, you're still not in a playoff spot. But if you do win tomorrow in Winnipeg and you get it done in regulation, you will have passed Winnipeg, found yourself back in a playoff spot at least temporarily tomorrow, and that sets up a game on Monday in Calgary to have a chance to take them down as well. So the Predators have given themselves a shot here coming down the stretch. Now, I was looking on moneypuck.com earlier before we came back from break here, and the playoff odds are interesting. They've got a 10.5% chance, and it's like, all right, well, they're 1 point back. Don't you think the chances would be a little bit higher than that? But, I mean, it is on the road at Winnipeg, on the road to Calgary, home against Minnesota, home against Colorado. That's a heck of a stretch the Predators have coming up in their final four games.
Yeah. Yeah. So, when you think about it, first of all, the two biggest games here are obviously on the road against teams that obviously are also fighting for the playoffs. And really good teams after that. And for as well as the Preds have played – they're definitely the underdog in all four of those games, right?
Yeah.
So I guess that makes sense.
They were 3% yesterday before the win.
Yeah, it's gone up drastically.
They went 3-10.
Yeah,
with one win. Wow.
If you beat Winnipeg,
I thought they were still like around 8 or 9, huh?
Beat Winnipeg, maybe you shoot up to like 30.
I would think so. I mean, that's right? I mean, seriously.
Yeah. I mean, look, there are four games left. I mean, each game is going to be
massive.
Pretty big. Turn of the swing. So it really is. I mean, it's incredible that they put themselves in this spot. I do wonder, and I know we've talked about, you know, people coming back from injury for a long time now, like if anybody is really, really close. Like, I have no idea how close Yossi is. We keep talking about him skating and all that, but like, is there a chance, like tomorrow, in a massive game, that somebody comes back for them?
It's him, or
it's got to be him, or nobody else, right? I would think. But like, is tomorrow the day that you bring him back? I don't know. I mean, look, Spencer Stastny. Like, in all seriousness, I think Spencer Stastny's looked pretty good out there so far. You had Livingstone making his debut last night for the Preds, so they've had some young guys step in high pressure situations.
Gravel is blocking shots left and right.
I mean, they've had some guys step up throughout this stretch here. You know, can Yossi give it a go tomorrow? We'll wait and see what happens on that front. But all of a sudden, I mean, we talked about that Winnipeg game here a couple of weeks ago and how big it was, and you let that one get away from you if you're the Predators in overtime. And then the next day, you just got absolutely punked by the Rangers, and you're like, all right, well, that's probably it for this team. Well, it wasn't, and now they've set themselves up for a bigger game on the road against Winnipeg coming up tomorrow. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it really is. And you look at the whole picture here. You know, by the way, Avs Stars both of the 100 points, but the Avs have a game in hand. The Wild at 98. I mean, that whole thing coming
wild
down the stretch is
no pun intended.
Yes, wild. It could be very wild.
Could be.
But yeah, that's basically. I think we pretty much had at least a couple shovelfuls of dirt that we threw on the Preds. I think after that Rangers,
I had a whole wheelbarrow full of dirt at the trade deadline. I was like, well, that's it.
Yeah,
pack it up.
Yeah.
And yet here they are. They found themselves in this spot. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mark from Nashville. Mark, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, how you doing, Robbie?
Good, Mark.
Yo, how y'all doing,
hey,
man?
Mark. Good, man. How are you?
Hey, I want to ask. I'm doing all right. I just want to ask y'all a couple of questions. You think if Hines gets the Predators, I'm not much on hockey, but you think if Hines gets the Predator in the playoffs, you think he keeps his job going into next year? Or I mean, they're looking pretty good with what they've done with all the trades they made, and they've gotten younger, faster, and stronger. I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there is a – if they get in the playoffs, he's made a strong case for himself with these young guys. I really do. Now, I think a lot of it comes down to what Joe said. Like, with Barry Trotz coming in, is there somebody that he's already got in mind? Like, is that, whether that's somebody that he's coached with before. You know, a lot of Predators fans love Carl Taylor down in Milwaukee. I don't know if I see that happening, but maybe. Is there somebody that – Barry Trotz already had in mind, but if it's truly, you know, just I want to see what Hines does and evaluating him that way and making a decision, I think he's got a really good chance to keep his job if they make the playoffs.
Yeah, now the other thing I was getting ready to talk about, Joe, I'm proud of you, man. I mean, you ought to give me a shout out every time you whoop Steelman's you know what now.
I agree.
You ought to let him know, because Joe, I've been motivating you. I see how you've changed your approach with Steelman. You're getting a lot stronger. You're attacking him when you need to, and then you lay off when you have to. You know, I like how you laid off about that Dusty. Yeah, I like how you laid off about that Stackhouse thing the other day when he was hollering about Dusty, whatever, the coach at Florida Atlantic. That didn't even make any sense, man. Steelman likes to have everybody fired. He wants Hines fired. He wants Stackhouse fired. I don't know, Joe. You're looking good, man. I'm looking at a forefeat for you next week.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna call and motivate you next week, Joe. I backed off this week because I said I'm gonna sit back and watch and see if Joe's been listening, but Joe, I am gonna look for your Christmas to give me a little bonus or something now, man. You gotta do something for me, Joe. Come on now, man. I've been there for you, Joe.
I know, Mark. I know. I got you, man. No, I appreciate it. And you're right. You know, I think you have motivated me, helped me strategize. And look, it helps when Jimmy Wyatt throws out the, you know, gets the scoops at Baskin Robbins. I mean, it just makes it that much easier, you know?
Hey, Joe, ever since you had that little meditation thing up in Knoxville, you got to go Bunkies. You got to go to Bunkies and do a few things and stuff. Seems like you've been motivated, man. I like that, Joe.
Maybe that's it.
I like that, Bunkies, man. But hey, man.
I give you a shout out every win, Mark.
Yeah. Just shout me out, Joe. But, hey, man, I just wanted to holler at y'all. I'm going to get ready to go home. I've been feeling a little bit under the weather, but I'm good now. So good to hear you back on the show, Robbie. Y'all have a good weekend and stuff, man. I'll holler at y'all next week.
Thank you, Mark. It's great to hear from you. We'll talk to you next week. Mark in Nashville, ladies and gentlemen.
My life coach.
Yeah. I agree. Look, you've done really well in the competition against Jared ever since he started calling. I mean, you've done okay in the competition always, but I feel like your game's gone up ever since Marcus called in.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate that. I mean, now, if we're all going to be in reality, Jared's never won a sports argument in his life. But, but yeah, I mean, we have to make it fun. So, it's cool. But, I kind of want Jared to win the next one.
I do. I wonder, you know, he brings up Hines there. Like, I do wonder, like, if you're a Predators fan, I mean, we know what it was like before the deadline, right? I mean, people were fed up with the way things were going. You know, whether you were mad at Poyle or mad at Hines or mad at both. Like, I do wonder, like, has your viewpoint on the Hines situation changed? I mean, look, they're not in the playoffs right now. They could get there. They may not get there. I guess the math would tell you that they're still heavy underdogs to get to the playoffs. But with the way that these young guys have come in and have played and that they've put themselves in this situation, has that changed the way that this fan base views John Hines, do you think?
It's a good question. And I think, look, what's been used to explain John Hines higher and also at times has been a big feather in his cap has been young players. Then you have the Tolvanen whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, well, there's an example of a young player who didn't do well and now he goes somewhere else. So I think that works against him, even though he's not the one who put him on waivers. I mean, I think the Tolvanen thing, the young player thing is huge here, right? Well, we're seeing a bunch of young players again who are playing really well right now. So how much credit do you give to John Hines? Man, I mean, again, it's like the coach has to have some credit and has to have some blame when things go right or wrong. So, yeah, I'm interested in that too. I mean, I think some Preds fans are probably had their minds made up long ago. Like, I haven't heard Mr. 31, by the way, talk about this recently. I'm not assuming he's not all like, oh, yeah, everything's all good. I like John Hines now. Right? I'm sure he's still adamant that he needs to be fired.
Well, we can find out here coming up at 7 o'clock.
We can ask him.
We'll see what happens there. But, I mean, it is interesting. I'm sure that you'll hear people that say, all right, well, you talk about the young players. Well, they've all been in Milwaukee all year. Let's give credit to Carl Taylor. And I get it. I mean, Carl Taylor's done a heck of a job. And
he should get credit.
There's no question, and he should get credit. But I do wonder, like, has your viewpoint on John Hines changed at all based on the way that this young team has played ever since the deadline? 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Preds with an opportunity to move ahead of the Winnipeg Jets tomorrow in the playoff race on the road if they can get a win. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. Make sure you tune in for some Nashville Sounds baseball tonight at 7:05 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Memphis Redbirds, the AAA affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Sounds will continue their series in Memphis Saturday at 3:05 and Sunday at 1:05. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Taking your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. They win 3-0 last night against Carolina. 1 point now behind the Winnipeg Jets and the Calgary Flames. Preds will play Winnipeg tomorrow. They will play Calgary on the road on Monday as well. So some massive games coming up for the Predators Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, John Hines still needs to go if they miss the playoffs, but watching these kids have made it fun to watch the Preds again. Even if they miss the playoffs, I'm looking forward to next season. This from an unnamed texter on the text line. And that is probably the most universal thing that Predators fans agree on that I've heard, that ever since the deadline with the young kids coming in playing the way that they've played, they just feel fun again. And we talked about, you know, this fan base being rejuvenated or whatever words you want to use at the deadline. The way that they've played, I think that has carried on throughout the rest of this season since then.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, I do think we have some prisoners of moments. If I could go back 2 years to when the Preds were vibing.
They were vibing.
And, like, think about Tanner's Think about the Herd line and some young guys in that lineup and that incredible run where it looked like they were toast at the deadline. I mean, it's different because they actually – this time actually made the move to, like, okay, new direction, here you go. But, I mean, you have to admit, if you're a Preds fan, 2 years ago, you had a blast watching that, right?
I would think.
So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would have to think it would be similar. It's interesting. But 2 years ago was weird, too, because you played the same three teams every day and all that stuff. But
played Carolina 25 times that year.
Right, but I mean, like, that team gets in and then gives Carolina a run. And that's a really good Carolina team.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I do think this one's a little bit different just because, like you said, number one, they did change directions. And number two, I mean, the injuries are ridiculous that they've dealt with the last few weeks. And somebody texted in a minute ago, was like, can you imagine if they make it and then, like, eventually Yossi and Forsberg and Duchesne and all these guys can come back? He said Johansson, too. Now, they'd have to make it to about, I think, around mid-May to even consider the Ryan Johansson part of this. But, I mean,
thanks, young guys. Have a seat.
See you later. Thanks for doing the work here. But, no, I mean, the Yossi and I guess maybe Forsberg part of this in the short term is interesting. But, I mean, look, these young guys – look, Novak didn't score last night, and he had a couple of chances, though, where it's just like that guy's – he's creating looks, good looks, every game. And – Evangelista creating good looks every game. And, you know, it's not always, you know, they have some matchups like the Dallas game earlier this week. They couldn't really get through them. There's not much they could do in that game. You know, Carolina, they didn't generate a ton last night against Carolina, but they were opportunistic in the first period. I mean, this team is, look, they're not going to run and gun anybody other than St. Louis and the teams that aren't any good. Like this team is not equipped to just take, you know, Colorado to the wall and win 6-5 or anything like that. But the way that they're playing and the way that they've bought into playing, I think has been really good. I'll say this, like, I've been impressed with, you know, Fabbro playing alongside McDonough. I think Fabbro's played much better alongside McDonough, and that's been encouraging to see. But, I mean, these young guys, I do think there is something to the speed part of this. Like, I think they've gotten faster, and that's allowed them to maybe generate some chances and finish on some chances that they weren't quite doing earlier this year. And look, Duchesne can skate. It's not like he's slow. Forsberg can skate. It's not like any of these guys are just moving in quicksand out there. But I do think some of these younger guys have come in and the foot speed has been a little bit different.
Yeah, speed's good.
Speed is good. And you got to have some of it. And that's the thing. Like, Evangelista, speed's not really even his thing. Like, he's not really overly fast at this point. But he's just been creative. Like, I continue to watch him and Novak play together, and I'm just like, I mean, they look like they've been playing together for 5 years. It's incredible.
How much did they how much have they played together, by the way?
I mean, they played together, I know, at least some in Milwaukee, but I mean, credit to John Hines. We talk about, you know, how much credit does he deserve? He's basically left those two together ever since they've come up here, which I think has been smart. Now, some of that is because they've basically taking their opportunity and run with it from the jump. So why would you break it up? But they're reading off each other really well right now. And Cody Glass continuing to make some big plays. I agree with the people who just say it's fun to watch. And it's funny to say that because, like, offensively, if you look at the numbers, they're not very good. Like,
right. They're not manufacturing a lot.
They're not manufacturing a ton of offense. It's not like they're scoring five goals every night and generating 45 shots. But I just think the main part of this is the perspective has changed from a lot of Predators fans. and you can see hope with some of these young guys. And the fact that they put themselves in this position when nobody expected them to at the deadline, I think has really ignited this fan base.
Yeah, it's you just talk about a roller coaster of a year. Probably couldn't I can't recall in 7 years, you know, more like apathy slash just, you know, disillusionment with where things were going. And then in the same year, you have this going on, which is, I mean, it's great, you know, for the fans to be, I think, rewarded for that and surprisingly rewarded for that. You know, on the Milwaukee front and the coaching front, Carl Taylor, I do think, has been really impressive and should at some point get a chance to coach in the NHL, I would think.
I would think
that would make sense. But right now, like, to me, I just can't see at this point deciding to move on from Hines and go to Taylor. I mean, to me, if you like, you know, where things have gone to that extent, then I think you just keep it the same, don't you?
I shouldn't say very rarely because it does happen. But most of the time, in my experience, when a coach moves from the AHL to the NHL as a head coach, it's usually not with the organization
it's a
they're
org.
Part of.
Yeah, it's a different org. Yeah.
It's somewhere else. Now,
and I think he should have that opportunity at some point.
I think he should, too. I mean, look, he's done a heck of a job. And think about this. I mean, they're in the playoffs. They're going to be playing, and they've had half their team taken away from them, too, because they're up here playing with the Predators. So, I mean, he deserves a ton of credit for what they've been able to do down there. Look, I understand, like, if you're a Predators fan, you say, we think Carl Taylor is a good coach, and we think he's going to be a really good coach in the NHL one day. Predators should hire him. Like, okay. I mean, I don't think that's a bad opinion by any stretch of the imagination. I'm with you. Like, from an organizational standpoint, like, if you're Barry Trotz coming in and you're the one making that decision, like, are you letting go of John Hines to just go and hire the minor league coach that's already in place?
Yeah, if you're doing it to hire someone, and that's the thing. I mean, I don't think that there's his primary protege is now coaching his team that he just coached.
Exactly.
So I don't know that there's an obvious name. Yeah. So if there's not an obvious name, but that doesn't mean there isn't somebody. I just don't know who it would be. But that to me that's the wild card that we don't know. Well, I don't know. Maybe you know.
I don't know. I got a texter that says, it's fun to watch them because they play hard and they battle for 60 minutes. It's also fun to watch because we have no expectations, but they're still winning. This is from Joel from White House. I do think there's something to that.
Yep.
And I go back to, I think it was Monday when John Glennon was with us here on the show, and we were talking about the Johansson discussion. And I don't know that it was necessarily John Hines singling out Ryan Johansson, but you know, Glennon brought up the Hines quote from a few weeks ago of, like, you don't have to motivate this team to play and to bring their game every night. You know, sometimes they just don't play well and the execution's not there. But this young group coming in, I think he keeps using the word hungry to describe them, which, I mean, that tells me that he really likes the approach that this young group has had, and maybe that wasn't always the case with the veteran group.
Well, and I'll go back again to 2 years. Go back 2 years ago. I mean, that was part of it too, right? It was like some guys got some opportunities, and it was like, wow.
And you
think about now, of course, right? Yeah, Carrier was one of the big ones for sure. But also 2 years ago was one you were kind of at the height of, like, okay, wow. Well, Duchesne didn't take a shift in the last 10 minutes of that game, and this and that with him and Johansson, you know. So I think that's kind of been an ongoing up and down sort of thing with some of these veterans.
I got a text that says, bring in Coach Q. He's done his time. He's out of league. They're not hiring Quinn.
Yeah, I don't think
that's happening. Anybody's hiring him.
No.
I shouldn't say I shouldn't say it won't happen because it's professional sports and it might.
True.
But I would be pretty surprised if that's the case. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for Call Your Shot Friday. We'll take your bold predictions. We will take your thoughts on the Predators. 615-737-1025. A big weekend coming up for them. Hit up your bold predictions on our text line, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we will take your bold predictions in the world of sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, how did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday?
Well, you got the Braves winning it all, so we'll have to see on that. You had Tomasino with two goals against the Blues.
Did not happen.
It didn't happen. Nashville SC will beat Orlando City by multiple goals.
That did happen. 2-0.
Well done. And South Carolina will beat Iowa by 15-plus. No, no, no!
That did not happen either.
Michelle, Caitlin Clark, a 30-point triple-double against South Carolina. She
30-point double-double.
Mm. Yeah, didn't have the triple-double. And also you had Iowa winning it all. That did not happen. I just wrote LSU in title.
I think they'll face LSU in the title game.
Yeah, there you go.
That wasn't really that much of a shot that LSU would be.
Well, the shot was they'll face LSU in the title game, and then Iowa will win.
I got you. Okay. All right. Sorry, poor typing on my part. FAU will win it all. That did not happen.
My blood Owls.
You said Anthony Richardson will be the next Titan quarterback, so we'll have to see on that. I had Caitlin Clark will have another game of more than 40. I think did she have 40? She did have 40.
She did.
Sorry. I think in South Carolina she had 40. I'm thinking championship game.
Yeah, she had 40. Yeah, so I had that. Iowa will shock South Carolina. I had that. So there's two. Also, I had Iowa winning it all too, and I was wrong about that. And I was wrong in saying Georgia Moore will score 30-plus. The Hokies will beat LSU. Kim Mulkey will be wearing Easter Bunny footy pajamas.
Yes, thank you.
I had a San – and I'm so glad I was wrong about this shot, by the way. So glad. It was a great game. I said San Diego State FAU will combine for a score of less than 100 points. It was a fun offensive game. They were hitting shots all night. And then UConn buzzer beater to escape the Canes. They did not need a buzzer beater.
They did not.
So there you go.
At any point in the tournament.
No.
Did not. Michelle, kick us off with today's edition of Call Your Shot Friday.
Okay, I've got some spicy ones today.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Okay, so sticking with the Preds, they've got four more games to close out the regular season. UC Soros will have two shutouts. Not calling a specific game.
Okay.
Just two shutouts in them.
That's a shot.
That's a shot. That's a Vezina shot.
Hunter Dickerson will be going to Kentucky. Oh, you predicted that, Rex?
I knew that you would have a called shot about Hunter Dickinson today. I knew it.
Okay, this one's a little bit of a long-term one.
Real quick, if he goes to Kentucky, you got to do you know all the stuff he does after the shots he makes and stuff?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that during the break.
Oh, gosh.
I learned about it last year when he played the Vols up close. Whew.
The Preds will get into the playoffs. They'll face Vegas in the first round, and they will win one series.
Wow. That's a shot.
And then
that's a shot.
Last one. This is a long term. All five quarterbacks, so all the ones we talk about, will all go in the top 15 of the first round.
Okay. So five quarterbacks in the top 15 of the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There we go. See, it was spicy. She did not lie.
Yeah, that is spicy.
Joe Rex wrote your called shots for this week.
All right. First of all, shootout win for the Preds at Winnipeg.
Mm.
And Yakov Trenin will be the one in the shootout with a spicy move.
Could be a long shootout. Okay, well, that sounds good.
I mean, he's not that far down the list anymore, the way things are. Yeah,
that's true.
But, yes, it might take a while to get to him. The Preds will just miss the playoffs with a loss on the final night of the season, but they will take it all the way to the end.
Okay. I like that.
The Golden State Warriors, they're winning it all, folks.
No, they're not.
Andrew Wiggins, who has been out since February, who's had, talk about the boy. He's, he just said, his dad's had health issues. The internet says other stuff. Whatever. He's coming back. He's getting in shape. He will be in that lineup. One more for the dynasty. Everybody get excited. And finally, Vanderbilt baseball this weekend will match Tennessee's best start in SEC history, which was last year, which was 12-0, after winning two more at Mizzou, and then will set the record a week from today against South Carolina.
Mm, I like that.
There you go.
Vandy baseball coming in hot so far this year. So shout out to them. All right, my called shots. You knew I had to get a Masters one in, so I will.
Oh,
I'll
yeah.
I'll just go ahead and get it out of the way. Scottie Scheffler will win the Masters in a playoff with Brooks Koepka. So those are my two in the playoffs. Scottie Scheffler Brooks Koepka and Scheffler will win. Going to have some weather coming into Augusta all weekend, so it's going to be interesting out there. We'll see what happens. But Scottie Scheffler wins the Masters, defends his title against Brooks Koepka in a playoff. So we'll see what happens on that front. Hendon Hooker will be drafted by the Tennessee Titans. The Titans will draft Hendon Hooker coming up in the NFL draft.
Where?
Not at 11. They'll trade back up in the first round. And go
okay. Game. Okay.
Wait, I thought you had Anthony Richardson. Or was that you, Joe?
It was not me.
Oh, maybe it was me.
It was you.
Yes. You calling shots all over the place.
Just call
here.
Me Dory. I can't remember anything lately.
Hendon Hooker, drafted by the Tennessee Titans. They will move back up in the first round after number 11 and go get him. So that's my call shot on the Hendon Hooker front.
Mm-hmm.
The Nashville Predators will beat Winnipeg and Calgary coming up. They will win against Winnipeg and Calgary coming up to set up a very interesting week next week at home against Minnesota and Colorado. Finally, the two goal scorers, the Predators will win 2-1 tomorrow. That's my first call shot. Two goal scorers tomorrow for the Predators will be Yakov Trenin, which I swear I had written down before your shootout shot, and Philip Tomasino. Those are my two goal scorers for the Predators tomorrow. There you go.
Those are good. That's pretty.
We got, a lot of, we got that, spicy ones.
That may be the most love that Yakov Trenin has ever received in a Call Your Shot Friday.
He doesn't get enough love.
Mark from Clarksville says, called shots are the Preds win all of their remaining games and win two rounds in the playoffs. Woo! That is a called shot.
Titans, I mean, why don't you just go for the cup, man, at that point?
The Titans trade up to get Anthony Richardson. Austin Eckler is traded to the Bills, and Bijan Robinson is drafted by the Chargers. Now, that'd be interesting. You get rid of Eckler, and then you bring Robinson in there. I could see that.
I kind of like that.
Caleb on the text line says, holy crap, Joe, Trenin in the shootout. I'm jumping in the freezer. That's so hot.
Have you seen their lineup? Like, Yakov Trenin should get a shot, man.
I mean, Joe's after
they
him.
Shouldn't be the that Yak, far down.
I mean,
Yak's got some hands.
The Yak, exactly. He's got some hands, and you know what? He won't take 7 minutes like Johansson used to when he had a shootout opportunity.
Joe's after him for the shootout.
Yeah.
You're next up.
Cam on the text line says, picks for the week. The Preds beat the Jets 3-2. Yossi will play and will have at least 1 point in the games versus the Jets or Flames. And the Titans will trade up to number 3 on draft night. This is from Cam on the text line. Probably should have made a Roman Yossi shot, but it's hard to predict.
Yeah. Well, Hines yesterday did not sound, I don't know, he didn't sound, you know, I mean, he was pretty noncommittal.
Yeah.
But he just didn't, like, the way he started to answer it almost sounded like, eh, it might not happen anytime soon.
I agree.
You know, that's kind of the vibe I got.
A lot of vibe today.
A lot of vibing today.
Matthew from Jolton says, the Preds will win 3 of the last 4. Those wins will be Winnipeg, Calgary, and Minnesota. So, like, the Colorado game being the lone one that they lose.
That means they're a playoff team.
You probably sign up for that right now if you're the Nashville Predators.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of Preds love on the called shots today. I mean, I felt good about the Winnipeg-Calgary thing. If they beat Winnipeg and Calgary on the road, the place is going to be nuts next week at Bridgestone.
Yeah, yeah.
Get your tickets now.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they will. But if they do, my goodness. If they can split, you still have a huge week.
Especially if you could split and you could get one of those to be an overtime or something, that'd be awesome. Like, if you come away from 3 out of 4 points with this one,
oh yeah,
you'd be sitting pretty if you're the Nashville Predators at that point. Now, the problem is, like, I've heard some people say, well, what about, you know, Minnesota and Colorado next week? It may not mean anything to either one of those teams because the playoffs could be set, like the order could be set. And
could
I guess
be,
it could.
But probably won't be.
It also could, like, they could both need to beat the Nashville Predators to win the division at that point.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you're talking – and again, like, the Wild in particular, I mean, the Wild right now are also – they're all in the division race, but they're also trying to jostle with the Stars to host.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty unlikely that those two games are going to be meaningless for those two teams.
Well, and look, I guess you can't think this way if you're like a player on the team. You just got to play who's in front of you. But like, if I'm in the Minnesota Wild organization right now, I'm like, hey guys, let's try to get up to number 1 so we don't have to play Colorado in the first round. That'd be great.
Oh yeah,
I mean, it's not like Dallas is some pushover, but I mean, they're not full-strength, healthy Colorado that we just saw run through the league last year as a buzzsaw.
Yeah, I mean, it's just – and look, let's say one or both – I mean, I can't imagine both of those games are going to be meaningless for the other side, but even if one is, it doesn't mean it's going to – it's a gimme, right? I mean, you can go lose to the Coyotes right now.
Yeah. Absolutely. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jared Stillman. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators and much more with the NFL draft as well. That's coming up next.
Agent 31.
Agent 31. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.